This is Will's Band of the Week for December 22nd, 2019. And welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Nicholas from the Melbourne Bureau.
Hello, great to be here. Yeah. I don't know why I'm laughing.
It's just so exciting, right?
It is true.
And David from the New York City Bureau.
Hello.
And
very exciting.
The audio.
It's a year end, decade end, and end of the world time of the year.
As we know it.
And the audio worked on the first try this time. I hope that doesn't jinx us and means there's going to be some catastrophic failure mid-recording.
There's always a chance I might have a wardrobe malfunction halfway through, but no one will see it, so we're
fine. That's a good point,
I think the only danger in the year-end shows is that they go on for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty
we'll
bad.
Try to avoid that, since there are only two of us.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't believe anybody could get through that whole thing. That was pretty crazy. Well, I guess the most challenging thing setting this up was just trying to figure out what time it is in Melbourne. I think I have it figured out, and then something shifts on me, and it's like, I don't know. It's just like there's this puzzle.
But we're here, and we're all talking at the same time, so.
Yeah, so it really doesn't matter what time it is.
Doesn't matter, no.
And in the podcasting world, time is irrelevant because they can listen whenever they want, right?
It's true.
That's right.
We do like to kind of paint a picture, though, right? So as we're recording, if it's morning, we're usually having coffee. If it's evening, we're usually having beer or whiskey. And it could be midday and can go either way with it, right?
Yeah, well, it's a warm, sunny Saturday afternoon here in Melbourne, Australia. I've just been doing some gardening. I've got a coffee on the go. It's nice and quiet in the household at the moment, but it's potentially going to get really rowdy. And I've not only our two boys running around, but I've got two more of my son's cousins about to arrive and run amok in the house. But as well as that, I've got two very very good looking tradesmen who are up on the roof doing some work on our roof with like a pneumatic water sprayer. So it's quiet at the moment, but there's a potential that it's going to get very noisy in the background.
Are those the guys? Those guys are working on the studio upgrade, right?
Yeah. We've got to have a special opening in the roof so that when Tommy Lee comes over with his massive drum kit, we can just sort of crane it straight in through the roof.
That's good. That's good thinking. You're planning very well. And then you might find some. Have you found any more guitar picks in the dirt in the back?
No. Unfortunately, just weeds today. But maybe if I post some weeds to any listeners through the mail, maybe that's the sort of thing they get picked up by customs and confiscated. So nothing as cool as a guitar pick in the dirt lately. But plenty of weeds.
That'd be cool. I think you would be pretty honored if you mailed those.
here's a weed from Melbourne. Enjoy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it could get stopped by customs. You never know. In America, we don't like foreign weeds coming into our country.
I'd probably get some red flag, against my name, so that in 2 years when I try to visit America, FBI will stop me at the airport.
Right.
Interrogate me.
Yeah, it's the weed guy from Melbourne.
I'll be like, no, but it's an actual weed. It's not weed. It's a weed.
Right. It's all a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what? Two more top 10 lists. We're just keeping the lists coming, and we never disappoint, do we?
Of course not.
They're about to explode into the universe, into the podcasting universe.
right? So any preliminary...
It's a learning experience because, you know, when you hear someone else's list, it immediately makes you think, what are all the things that I've missed?
Right.
Where did I go wrong? What should I have been listening to?
Why can't I be as cool as that guy? Like, you know, that list, that particular selection was so cool and I couldn't live up to it. I've actually seen both of the lists, and that's exciting. You guys haven't seen each other's, have you?
No.
It's a surprise.
Okay.
David, this is the first time we've been on the podcast together. Is that right? You and I, David?
I think you're right.
Yeah. So it's an honor for me. You're one of my favorites.
Oh, well, thank you. And you're one of mine.
It's true.
It's a small pool.
I am excited about my top 10 and sharing it with everyone. And I am kind of proud that no one on my list has been on anyone else's list.
Wow.
That's actually true. That is,
I'm kind of surprised, but yeah.
Yeah.
That is a shocker.
Well, I mean, nobody else had anything from 1969 on their list. There's a little preview.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Let's see.
No, it was 1983. You got it wrong.
Oh, damn it.
Back to the drawing board.
Looks like David has four that have been previously mentioned. So, yeah, there you go. Well, now the people
Let's
can start.
Give it all. Let's not give it all.
No, this is just just to kind of get people thinking and curious. All right, who wants to go first?
Well,
see how well we're planned out here? We aren't. We just, you know.
David, I'm happy for you to go first, mate.
All right.
David is earlier in
that. That means you get the final selection.
Right, well, yeah, it goes both ways.
I'm trying to pretend that I didn't realize that, but... Oh, yes, you're right.
All right, let's go with...
yours will be a much bigger surprise than mine.
Let's go with David and his number 10.
Well, before I get to number 10, just to bend the rules the way Chris does all the time, which is let's combine two EPs and call it an LP.
Right, yeah.
Right? I just thought I would mention my runners-up.
Sure, yeah.
The ones that didn't make the list. I think did somebody else do this as well? I think someone did. But
yeah, I think a couple of us mentioned. I mentioned a couple of them, and Chris did.
Well,
yeah.
I do have a list. I wish I had room for all of these, and I did not. I mean, you know, something's got to move down, right? These are the ones that moved down.
Right.
And off the board. They left the board. FKA Twigs is a great record. Everyone should hear it. It's just utterly amazing. I had not listened to her at all before this record came out, and now I'm just totally, totally onto her.
I've read a lot about that, and I have not listened to it, so well, I guess I will.
Speaking of reading, I read the Pitchfork review of this record, and it was so ecstatic that I was like, I have to listen to this. This is just, you know, research. And then, wow. Anyway, Better Oblivion Community Choir.
Center,
sorry. Better Oblivion Community Center. Great record. Not on the list. My friends from Korea, Drinking Boys and Girls Choir. Figured I talked enough about them. Saw them at a certain festival, and, you know, they're great. Dry Cleaning. Love Dry Cleaning. I think we all love Dry Cleaning. But they were a late entry. They just, you know, didn't quite make it. Rosie Tucker, another, also ran. Great record. Just didn't have room for it. And my favorites from Western Australia. My favorite Western Australia band, T-Noxed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe next year for T-Noxed. Who knows? When they get a full record, you know, full album. But my number 10, my actual number 10, just to throw everyone a monkey wrench here and go into the, shall we say, pop world. Definitely not an indie artist, at least not judging by audience. Lana Del Rey.
Once upon a time, she was an indie artist, but then she got kind of big. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess she moved up into a different bracket. And the album is Norman Fucking Rockwell. And the song, there's so many. I mean, half the record I could have picked because it's just awesome. The one I picked is the greatest. Mm-hmm.
I miss Long Beach and I miss you, babe. I miss dancing with you the most of all. I miss the bar where the Beach Boys would go. Dennis's last stop before Kokomo. Those nights were on fire, we couldn't get higher. We didn't know that we had it all. But nobody wants you before the fall.
Lana Del Rey. It just came out in the music news today that she's going to have a spoken word album coming out in early 2020.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Spoken word. You know, it'll probably be like Henry Rollins, right?
But different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a amazingly produced album, and I didn't listen to it enough times to like have the songs really soak in, but I listened to it once in the car and I thought, yeah, this is a real legitimate album, and I just, yeah, totally cool. Lana
yeah,
Del Rey.
It has a real, David. It has a real epic kind of cinematic quality to it when you hear it over and over. It's amazing.
Cool. Lots of teenage girls really like Lana Del Rey here in Melbourne.
I hope they better be the cool teenage girls.
Oh, they are the very cool teenage girls. So you've got lots of street cred for that one, David.
Okay.
See, David's interests are timeless, pretty much.
she's still got a foot in the indie world because she has people opening up for her like Ben Gibbard and you know.
Yeah.
That kind of artist.
Right. It's kind of cool. I mean, the way that her career has gone. Right. She recorded under a different name, and then she's had some controversies and
got
stuff.
Got a lot of flack, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for not being authentic.
Yeah, and then the irony is that, well, at least, you know, it seems like people think this one is really authentic, so it's like she went totally in the right direction and had a big enough budget to make a fancy production, which we've talked about before. It could be good or bad to have, like, a big production, right? But I think they did a really good job on this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Nicholas, number 10. Do you want to give the consolation prizes? I mean, to all the bands that are really sad because
didn't quite make it. Yeah. Well, shout outs to local heroes Swazi Gold.
Oh yeah,
who we did talk about on the podcast a few months ago. Would have liked to have had room for them. Also, another Aussie artist Laura Imbruglia.
Liked
that album as well, Will.
Yes.
And I really did at the time. I guess I just didn't find, I guess in the end, I just sort of thought, oh, what did I listen to a lot? And what tracks are really kind of like painting the musical portrait of my year? So unfortunately, they didn't quite make it. The Bill Callahan album that came out a few months ago also got a few spins in our household, and a really beautiful album. I have a feeling that Barrett liked that one. And also sort of a blues gospel artist called Leo Bud Welch. I would have liked to have slipped in there, but yeah, didn't quite make it. But 10, yeah, well, we've got some plenty of good music to talk about still, but those ones didn't quite make it. And yeah, I found it really hard to actually choose 10. Maybe, I guess it sort of sounds like some of us, you know, it's always kind of a little bit of a struggle who you put in, who you take out. And I suppose in the end, I didn't, you know, again, I kind of feel like this is these 10 tracks are just a sort of a portrait of the year for me. So I feel like my listening habits have really sort of changed in the last few years. But I think, you know, as I was listening to this top 10 that I made, I was like, oh, yeah, actually, all these tracks are really great. I really love them. And I think for me, they do sort of capture different sort of periods of 2019 for me. So maybe we'll just get straight into it. My number 10, you sort of alluded to this before. It's actually something that came out 50 years ago. It's kind of amazing to think that this album is 50 years old. And I suppose part of the point of me playing this is, we obviously sort of feature a lot of indie rock on this podcast, and sometimes I wonder, where does kind of indie rock, where did it originate from? Where did it sort of evolve from? Because I don't really hear the Beatles in most of the music that we feature on Will's Band of the Week. And I remember years ago hearing people talking about like heavy metal from the 80s being like the first kind of rock music that totally sort of shed the influence of the blues. And I guess when I listen to all the indie rock that we listen to, I kind of wonder, where did this kind of come from? And this album that we're going to hear a track from is by Joni Mitchell, and her second album called Clouds came out in 1969. And I happen to have a copy of this on an iPod that was like a playlist of pretty chilled music that we have in our young son's bedroom. So our littlest son, Tali, when I've been sitting on the couch for an hour putting him to sleep, either for an afternoon nap or at night, this album would come on. So I've heard this album, sort of been forced to listen to this album over and over and over again, and after maybe hearing it 50 times, I'm like, wow, this album is amazing. And I don't know if you've ever had that sort of experience of an album that you normally wouldn't sort of like listen to like heaps and heaps of times, but sometimes when it kind of reaches some sort of critical point and something clicks in your mind and you suddenly realize how brilliant something is. Anyway, this is a beautiful album, Clouds, from 1969, and I guess sometimes it occurred to me that, some of the, particularly the guitar parts on this album, it's all just sort of like mainly just one single acoustic guitar. But I thought it had maybe some little seeds of what flowered into what is our beloved indie rock 50 years later. But you can decide yourself. But let's have a little listen to Joni Mitchell and a song called Chelsea Morning.
Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I heard was a song outside my window, and the traffic wrote the words. It came a ringing up like Christmas bells and wrapping up like fire and drums. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on the day and we'll wear it till the night comes. Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I saw was the sun through yellow curtains and a rainbow on my wall. The red, green and gold to welcome you, crimson crystal beads to beckon. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on a day. There's a sun show every second. Now the curtain opens on a portrait of today, and the streets are paved with passers-by, and pigeons fly, and papers lie waiting to blow away.
Joni Mitchell from 1969. The album is Clouds. And Nicholas has broken the rules before. And, this year, if Barrett can pick two EPs, then I think Nicholas can pick an album from 1969. 50
well, I don't
years
know
old.
Actually breaking the rules, though. I mean, what we're listing our top records of 2019. That doesn't explicitly say top records released in 2019.
Technically, right? No. Right. So I mean, we could have a debate about that and maybe kick somebody off the podcast. But I've decided to be tolerant. And one thing I love about listening to music that's that old is to compare the sound of it and the recording of it. And you listen to that guitar, and you can't record a guitar really better than that, right? It just sounds perfect. And I do notice with sometimes old recordings, the drums do sound different. But that guitar and the vocal, I mean, you're right. It's a precursor to a lot of the indie rockers we're listening to now, isn't it?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Just so, yeah, I think that's more of, like, well, you mentioned like 80s heavy metal. I think this sounds more like an indie rock influence than like Rat or Cinderella. All right. Let's keep going. We're up to what? We've done one. At this rate, it'll be like 3 hours.
That's right. We need to step up the pace here.
David.
Sure, let's just pump it out. Let's do it.
I'm definitely a fan of David's number 9.
Okay.
Glad it's one of those. There's so many of these great albums released this year where I think, oh, somebody, I hope somebody features that because it's cool.
So number 9, Young Gov, I believe his government name, as they say, is Ben Cook, is it?
That sounds right.
Something like, he's got a perfectly sort of, you know, young guitar slinging name, but he goes by Young Gov.
And he's in another band, right?
More like a rapper. I guess, well, yeah, project band, yes.
Now, what's his band, though? He's the drummer in some other band.
Oh.
We have to know this.
I did not realize that.
Okay, well, we'll do the music journalism while we're playing the track. Okay. We get to the end of the year, then we finally figure out, oh, yeah.
So he released, early in the year, he released Young Gov, I guess it's Young Gov 1, and then later in the year released Young Gov 2. And I think there's, what, like 10 songs in each one? So.
And then there's a Gov 1 and 2 combined, right? So it's an actual album. Yes. Yeah, so you can take credit. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Or I could just go by the first one, which has a lot of good stuff. And and so does the second one. And the song that I picked is High on My Mind.
Young Gov. And, of course, that sounds exactly like Teenage Fan Club, right?
Yeah, what I would say about them is that many of their songs sound like they're recreating the Teenage Fan Club sound. And those that don't sound like they are trying to recreate the very late Beatles, sort of a Magical Mystery Tour era sound. It's either one or the other. And so, you know, you could call them derivative, I guess, but... neither of those is an easy thing to do and to pull off, and I think they do it, and I just love the sound.
Yeah,
and they're also one of those bands. I've watched a few videos. They're one of the two bands I think right now in the world that I would really like to see live if I could.
Yeah,
haven't had that opportunity yet, but they look amazing. They come out with a small army of guitars, and it's just they look fabulous. So
that's cool. I listened to this Gov 1 quite a bit, and then Gov 2 came out, and I was pretty amazed because it's a little different. It's a little more diverse, and it's all good. Even has some kind of like dance beat sounding kind of stuff on it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this guy's really talented. So I think David already blew the explicit content with the Lana Del Rey album. So that means I can mention the band that this guy plays in, the band Fucked Up from Toronto. Uh-huh. He plays guitar in that band. That's sort of a hardcore-ish band, right? And isn't that the band that has a guy that kind of screams?
I think so.
Well, anyway, so that's cool. There you go. Trivia.
Hey, if anyone at home wants to have some fun like me, as we're going through these tracks on my computer, I'm just looking up like each of the bands up on YouTube and finding a live clip, and I'm listening. So at the moment I'm watching, but I'm not hearing the sound of Young Gov playing live. So it's kind of cool to see what they look like, see them on stage as I'm hearing you guys talk and hearing a little bit of one of their tracks. So if you're in a position where you can get onto YouTube and listen to the podcast at the same time.
Wow.
Do the same thing as me.
That's
multitask,
impressive.
Come on.
Okay. Nicholas, what's number nine?
So number nine is my gig of the year. I don't think I actually mentioned this, but I went to see this guy, Cedric Burnside, who is the grandson of R.L. Burnside, Mississippi Hill Country blues legend. Cedric Burnside's a young guy who came out to Melbourne, and I finally got to see him. He released an album called Benton County Relic. It actually came out last year, but this year it was nominated for a Grammy for one of the best blues album releases. Didn't get it, but the gig that I saw, you know how sometimes you see something and it's good, then you see something else and, oh, yeah, that was great. And then occasionally, like once every 20 years, you see something and it just takes you, like you sort of lift out of your shoes and your brain ends up like in outer space.
Yeah.
You ever had that feeling?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of one right now.
Yeah.
It was a transcendental experience. I almost left my body. So I thought, hey, that just blew my mind seeing him live. And so he's earned himself a place on this year's top 10. So we're going to have a track called Hard to Stay Cool.
That's what I like. Life can be so easy, and life can be so hard. Make you wanna cuss and fuss, make you wanna tear things all apart. You try to stay calm and not act a fool. Now somebody come and make you lose your cool. Sometimes it's hard to stay 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 cool.
Cedric Burnside. I don't know if I did it justice with about a minute and a half.
No, that was just a nice taste, and you know, some of his songs are pretty low key like that, but others more rockin'. He plays guitar and sings, but he also is an amazing drummer. Anyway, that's the kind of blues that I really love, this Mississippi Hill Country kind of blues, and I guess I wanted to also just share a bit of that with our listeners. I know we don't play a lot of blues on the podcast, but that's some new stuff that comes out that just I just love it. Yeah,
great. All right, Cedric Burnside. Now we are up to David's number 8.
Okay, my number 8 is a repeat from some earlier lists, I believe, or at least one.
It was on Chris's list.
It's on Chris's list, yes. Chris is a big fan of this band. He was onto them before I was. I only learned about them with this record this year. And then I went to see them, and that kind of sealed the deal. From that point on, I knew that they were not going to be dislodged from this list. And that band is Bleached. And the song is Valley to LA.
Bleached.
The Clavin sisters, Bleached.
Yep.
Jennifer and Jessica. Are they twins? Not sure.
I don't know.
But they are sisters.
Yeah, and that album has an interesting combination of styles, right? I guess it sounds like an 80s, like that track does, right? Chris was saying that some of it has sort of a disco beat, which I noticed also, in a cool way.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's more just straight pop, but... yeah, good album. Bleached.
Great live band.
I don't think we mentioned the album name. The album is called Don't You Think You've Had Enough. Mm-hmm. And second album. And yeah, I haven't listened to the first one really very much. I think I listened to it maybe once. So I can't make the comparisons like Chris did. But yeah, cool. Well, Nicholas, are you ready to tell us about your number 8?
Let's do it. Now, this is a guy that I guess in the end, I like him just because I like him. I've talked a lot about Thurston Moore over the years. And this year he put out an album I know was sort of a bit not exactly controversial, sort of. We had differing opinions on whether the album that Thurston Moore sort of put out a few months ago called Spirit Council, whether it was worthy for the podcast, because it was a bit, you know, I think it had like 3 tracks and went for about, you know, an hour and a half or something, probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
It's something like that,
Yeah, it was kind of like these sort of, you know, improvised in instrumental indie rock, which, you know, I liked his confidence, I suppose. Thurston Moore, he's good at being Thurston Moore, and I guess I love what he does. Anyway, rather than playing a song from that album, he's actually just released three singles just in the last couple of months, so I thought we'd have a listen to one of those tracks, which I also really loved, a track called Pollination.
Thank you.
So that's an example of a song that I'll just put on repeat while I'm doing something else. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll listen to that again. I'll just love kind of diving into that. Apparently, these three singles that have been put out were all recorded and mixed live. So the Thurston Moore group, I guess, have been on tour and they recorded some songs live on stage and they put them out as singles. And, yeah, I think it sounds great. So that was a little taste of the single Pollination. But the album that they put out earlier in the year was called Spirit Council. So you can also dive into that.
If we went back into your lists over the years, Nicholas, how many years would you not have any former Sonic Youth member on your list?
Well, funny you mention that. I was actually, we were just like literally a couple of minutes ago, I was looking on the Wills Band website to check because I was thinking, oh, maybe I had him on last year or the year before, and actually not. I feel like it's been a couple of years. 2018 and 2017 do not feature any ex-Sonic Youth
really?
People.
Lee Ronaldo either?
Probably if you go back to 2016.
Okay. And I don't think anybody, so far, nobody's had the Kim Gordon album on. Did you listen to that album at all?
I did listen to it. And again, I sort of appreciated it, but I just didn't listen to it much.
Yeah, it's totally different, right? It's not, the same kind of guitar rock. It's a lot more sort of diverse, but really creative and interesting.
Sure.
So, all right, let's see. That was number 8. Are we already up to number 7?
We are.
We're rocking right along. All right, indie rock veteran, right?
Yeah, you know, I hate to be so predictable, but the fact is that if you look at my list in total, female solo artists or bands fronted by a woman singer, 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we're heading into the stretch here of pretty much uninterrupted.
That's so right.
I'm very predictable. I try to vary it, and, you know, I fail. So, what can I say? Sharon Van Etten, the album is Remind Me Tomorrow, and the song is Jupiter 4.
Sharon Van Etten, David's number 7. And that album got a lot of good indie rock press, right?
It did. I don't think she's ever put out a bad record. I mean, what is this, her 4th or 5th? I'm not sure. But it's one of the better ones.
There were people saying that this one was a departure. That is there more production or something on this one, maybe?
I guess it's more heavily produced, but I was just listening sort of at random, you know, to songs from every record, sort of, you know, just tossed together, and I was hearing more that they were the same than that they were that different.
Hmm. I think I listened to this one more than I've listened to any of the other ones, and I like this one. But I haven't listened enough to make, you know, a comparison.
Yeah, and I haven't seen her live, but I have watched her. I was watching some streaming, so I guess it was live. Just wasn't live where I was, but and just she as a live performer, she's just unbelievable. I mean, as I said, I've never seen her in person, but just absolutely gut-wrenching performances.
Yeah, our
just amazing.
Our friend, we pretend he's a friend, but he did take our photo, Robin Hilton from NPR. I remember him talking about her when he saw her at South by Southwest about 4 or 5 years ago, when she was just starting to, you know, be a breakout artist, and he was just like just gushing, saying it was just incredible. So it's kind of cool, right? She's it seems like as she's progressed through her career, she's gotten more confident and has like a, you know, full fledged live show, which I haven't seen either, but.
I'm watching a little clip on YouTube of her at Glastonbury this year. So on stage, she's got two keyboard players, a bass player, and a live drummer, and she's basically commanding the whole stage. She's almost like a female Nick Cave or something like that. Lots of dark passion.
I was just gonna...
poison coming out of her eyeballs, basically.
Yeah, very dramatic performer.
I was about to say Nicholas is watching a video right now, and then he said he was. So, all right, very cool. All right, Nicholas, number six.
All right, now Anurag, I'm going to thank him for opening the door on metal.
That's right.
We're allowed to play metal.
It
allowed
says
to play metal on,
yeah.
On Will's pod, on Will's Band of the Week.
That's right. Yes.
Because Anurag did it, so I can do it.
Right.
So here's another artist, one of the few Australian artists that I'm featuring, maybe the only one. Yes, this is representing Australia, is progressive metal instrumental guitar player Pliny, P-L-I-N-I, who I also saw live this year and didn't kind of mention because for some reason I felt a little bit embarrassed that I got to this sort of progressive metal gig, but I went. He's only young. He's in his 20s, so it's always kind of weird seeing these guys who are from a totally different generation. But, you know, I grew up listening to people like Steve Vai and Joe Satriani, and I guess they call this genre djent, as in D-J-E-N-T, djent. Hmm. And it's a healthy sort of offshoot of metal, really, this progressive progressive metal. Anyway, we're going to hear a really good example of his sound that I have kind of fallen in love with this year. And when I first kind of was exposed to it a couple of years ago, I was like, I'm not really buying this. But then again, you know, just gave a little bit of time and then it hit me, you know, right when I needed it. And it's like, yeah, cool. Pliny's my man. So let's have a listen to Pliny and a single that he put out. He recorded this single with the bass player from another progressive metal band called Periphery. So if you're up with the djent bands, you'll know who I'm talking about. But this is their song called Blue Angel.
We'll be right back.
Pliny. Is that how you say it?
I think it's Pliny.
Oh, Pliny.
Pliny. P-L-I-N-I.
Cool.
So David and Will and you know, loyal listeners, basically the theme of my top 10 and probably everything that I ever talk about, it's all about the guitar. Whether it's Joni Mitchell's like elegant acoustic guitar playing, or Cedric Burnside playing his blues guitar, or Thurston Moore or Pliny, and all the other bands that I'm about to play, it's all about the guitar. It has to be the guitar. So for me, you know, you're a good guitar player, you know, or there's something about your playing, you know, that's where I'm at.
Well, I think you have a point there that probably one of the things that sort of is a common feature of a lot of stuff that we like and talk about is it's guitar music, right? We like a fair number of bands that are electronic sounding, you know, with beats and stuff, but we're sort of throwbacks to the guitar rock, I think.
Yep, I think that's true.
And so Nicholas is giving us a great, like, a cross-section, right? A broader cross-section.
He's got a through line to his choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was hearing a lot of John McLaughlin there, if you remember his work.
Yeah. So it does have a bit of a fusion-y, kind of that sort of jazz rock fusion. Mm-hmm. Sort of definitely got a bit of that flavor in there. Yeah, well picked up.
Okay, we're up to David's number 6.
Well, as I say, I can't stay away from the female solo artists. Now, this is an artist that I was introduced to by the podcast. I remember you guys really loved her first album. I heard it, and I think I thought it was a little too twee, so I didn't really appreciate it. I should probably go back and listen to it. But the second one's a lot less twee, and I also liked it enough to go see her here in Brooklyn. And she was absolutely phenomenal as a live artist. And that is Soak from Ireland, one of two Irish artists on my list.
From Northern Ireland.
Excuse me, from Northern Ireland.
They might care about that distinction, you know. After Brexit, right, they're going to put a wall in between those,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. So, but, you know, both from the island.
Yep.
Not from the same jurisdiction. And I picked, there's maybe one track on the whole album that I wouldn't pick to represent how good it is. But other than that one, I could just close my eyes and pick anything because it's just so consistently great. And I know you also are a fan of this record.
Yes.
So I picked Life Trainee.
Soak, the album is Grim Town, and yes, I'm fully on board with that one. I think she's two for two, totally two for two. on her two albums. And another one on the, you know, 2C list I would love to see. I think she came as close as Chicago, and that's about it. So we can sometimes make it to Chicago from here. But, you know, on a Tuesday night, and they start at 9 o'clock, and you have to stay overnight. If you, you know, you should stay overnight. So it's not. Craig would probably do it. If Craig lived in Madison, he'd be going to Chicago shows all the time. But I can't quite live up to that standard.
Right.
I got off track a little bit there. But Soak, excellent. All right. Nicholas, number six.
Yeah, hey, we're going to listen to... This is the sort of a nice little accidental discovery. I heard a track just on the radio by chance that was off this kind of weird compilation, and then I sort of like checked out this compilation and ended up finding this guy called Charlie Magiera, who unfortunately died in 2016, but it seems like a lot of his music's, you know, still kind of being discovered. And he was only in his 40s, and he was this sort of maybe you could even call him slightly eccentric guitar player and artist from Israel. He basically was based in Tel Aviv, but also Berlin. And he described himself as a sun that shines backwards. I tried to sort of find out more about this guy, but it seems, you know, sort of good information is a little bit elusive. But I did definitely kind of dive into some of his music, which ranges from sort of garage rock to shoegaze to sort of 1950s rock and roll to sort of lo-fi exotica, all this kind of weird stuff. But he plays it on this sort of like weird echo guitar. I think he kind of grew up loving Elvis, and his music kind of came out often sort of sounding like this sort of spaghetti western music from, you know, decades ago, but, you know, he was producing it you know, just in recent years. So definitely worth checking out. Sad that he's not with us any longer, but a new compilation, sort of a best of his music called Tomorrow's Gone, was put out this year. And let's listen to the title track, Tomorrow's Gone, from Charlie Magiera.
Charlie Magiera, Tomorrow's Gone.
Man of mystery.
That seems
so it seems.
Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy they would make a documentary about? You know,
yeah,
like,
Searching for Charlie, exactly.
Right. I just started.
I would love that. And there is a great podcast interview that he, from a podcast called Live to Tape with Johnny Pemberton. And he did a long interview with Charlie Magiera few years ago, so that's easy to find, and that kind of gives a good insight into his life. And yeah, another compilation that came out, which is where I first heard of this guy, was called You're Not From Around Here, which is a whole lot of different artists, and it was sort of talking about this album being a sort of a lost soundtrack to a 1964 noir film. But that doesn't quite make sense because some of the songs were produced after 1964. But anyway, also a great sort of album to check out that's got some of his music and a whole lot of other sort of similar, weird guitar music that sounds like it's very old, but maybe it's not actually old.
Great. It's an underground discovery, right?
Yeah, I think he always was kind of lurking in the underground. He used to, produce a lot of music just on a four-track recorder and put out records. And he did tour, and he used to do festivals in Europe and has toured the US, but he never sort of broke through much at all. But for some reason, his music's sort of been a bit more celebrated in the last couple of years, it seems, and people finding out a bit more about this guy, Charlie Megira. Megira. You can find his music on online, and lots there. He put out lots of albums, and they're not all the same. Some of it sort of sounds a bit like early Cure kind of shoegazy stuff. So it's quite interesting, the music that he made.
Wow, great!
Sounds like somebody that Quentin Tarantino might want to pick up on and use in his next film. You know,
totally, yep.
Probably after hearing it on this podcast, he'll probably pick it up.
Probably. No doubt.
Okay, we're up to the upper half now. Now it starts to get
closing
serious.
Closing in.
Number five, David, he's got this is kind of a podcast favorite, right?
That's just what I was going to say. Podcast favorite. Black Belt Eagle Scout. We loved the first album, and some of us loved the second one, too. Maybe even more than the first. I'm not sure. It's great guitar, great singing, great songs. When you read the lyrics, it's kind of interesting, especially to this album. They're so simple. You look at them and you think, how is this even a song? There's not even a lot of, there's not a lot of variation here. She tends to repeat certain lines, and when you look at the lyrics on the page, it's just sort of very simple and straightforward. And then you hear the song and something completely different. I don't know how she does it. It's just amazing. There are lots of tracks on here. I picked My Heart Dreams.
Belt Eagle Scout. This was her second album, and it's called At the Party with My Brown Friends. And really good one. And there's definitely an argument that it's better than the first one. I think it's really consistent.
And coming right on the heels of the first one.
Right. I mean, it wasn't more than a year, right? It might have been less than a year apart. So
I think so.
Let me ask Nicholas a technical guitar question. What do you think about people who play guitar with no pick, like an electric guitar without a pick? She does that. She sort of like just flicks her fingers at the strings, and I think it sounds, she's very good at it, but I always feel kind of uncomfortable. Like, damn, I need to have a pick, you know?
It's like, it's funny you mentioned that because I've actually started not using a pick just in the last 6 months. I've started, I know we talk about my guitar picks that I find in the garden, but
right, yeah.
After about 30 years of, well, I always used to kind of, I've always sort of sometimes played with a pick and sometimes not, but now I don't play with pick ever. So you can certainly do it. And there's even a rock guitar player who I think I've featured before called Richie Kotzen, who's an amazing shredder who plays with no pick. So yeah, I think it's it means you never you've never dropped your pick in an awkward moment. So power to those of us who don't need one.
The other guitar player who I remember for using that technique is the guy from The Clientele. Did you guys ever listen to The Clientele? Super 60s throwback band. Yeah, and the guy played with no pick, and I'm like, wow, it's just it's so different. Like, I'm the guy who plays bass with a pick because I just can't imagine playing without a pick, and I'm not good enough to play like with multiple fingers. And I also like the percussive sound of bass with a pick. So I'm just like so I'm so pick oriented, you know.
That's okay. It's like a slightly different feel, slightly different sound, and slightly different attack. And Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits is probably another good example of someone that doesn't play with a pick.
Oh, that's a great example. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I think we're up to my number five.
We are. Number five. This is, we're getting into the serious stuff here. And this was one you and I talked about, right? And you,
it's true.
You recommended it and I liked it a lot.
Yeah. David Kilgore and the Heavy Eights. Let's just say he's from New Zealand. It's mellow. It's catchy. What's not to like? Yeah.
Right. It's like, and I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about how do you define jangle pop? Because I listen to a lot of things and I think that's jangle pop and I really like it. And then sometimes I think, and this has come up recently because there are about three or four albums from late 2019 I've been listening to and I kind of think they're jangle pop, but then I'm like, wait, I'm not sure. Is that jangle pop or not? So is this does this count as jangle pop, or do we just let the listeners decide?
I don't know what I call it, really. I just call it good music.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Smokey Right Out of Here from the album Bobby's a Girl.
David Kilgore and the Heavy Eights. Of course, David Kilgore, member of the famous band The Clean, right?
That's true. And I think these guys, you know, some people have just been doing music for a long time, so they just know how to do it well. It's a good example.
Yeah, I think that wasn't... Technically, you can't really call that jangle pop because there wasn't an electric guitar that you would describe as jangly, whatever that means. It was pretty much acoustic bass, but it had the vibe of a lot of stuff that you call jangle pop, I think.
Yeah, jangle vibe. You could make a new genre.
Right. Yeah.
It's post-jangle.
Whoops. Yeah, that's good.
Might have been jangle gaze.
Yeah.
Shoe jangle.
Shoe jangle. Yep. Yeah, it's still like, so he's an aging rocker, right? And still doing great stuff. Yeah. I love it. Yep. Okay. We are now up to David's number four.
Yes, and continuing my slog through the female singer-songwriters, we have Miss Duterte, a.k.a. J-Som, and the album is called Anak Ko, and the song, so many good ones on here, the song is Nighttime Drive.
J-Som. Yeah, very good album. I liked it a lot. You know how we talk about how we go to see a band live, and then if the band is good, like David, you were just saying this about Bleached, right? So it's just like, that just vaults them. Like, there's no way you can keep them out of the top 10, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Chris said the same thing about Cherry Glazer. So, and maybe that was a factor for me with Priests also. So, unfortunately for J-Som, it kind of went the other way for me. I really liked the album, and I went to see them live, and I don't know if they were just not having a good night or whatever, but it was kind of uninspired. I'm kind of like, okay, oh well. You know? But I really liked the album. And,
well, I haven't seen her live, so I wasn't subject to that effect. If that was going to happen to me. There was no opportunity for that. So.
And maybe you'd catch her on a really good night and you'd have the opposite reaction. Who knows? Yeah. So, definitely a good one.
But with just the album to go on, I couldn't keep her off the list. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Such a great record.
It's a good one. All right, Nicholas, number four. Oh, this is such a fun number four. I love this. When I saw you had this as your number four, I'm like, this is fun.
Well, I feel this is a bit of a special one, really. So number four is a friend of the podcast, Red Pants, a.k.a. Jason, who we just heard from last week.
Right.
So I feel like I got to know Jason a bit through the podcast, and he and I corresponded a bit and shared some music with each other, and then he put out his album under his band name Red Pants. The album's called Distortion and Snow, and we're gonna hear a little bit of the final track. But I just want to sort of make reference to the opening line of the album of track one. And I mean, how could you not love this? So that the opening line is, "Everything has changed since I last played this guitar. What comes first, the distortion or the delay? I don't mind." And I really like that because on all of the, you know, Facebook guitar nerd groups that I'm part of, people are always asking in what order you put your guitar pedals, whether you put the reverb after the delay or the delay after the reverb or which is the best distortion pedal. So to hear this great indie album with that talks about, you know, where you put your distortion or the delay, and I really liked it. But I think the thing that I really loved most about this album, well, it's a great album, regardless of whether we know Jason or not, but we're kind of privileged to know Jason on the podcast. And so, you know, we get to know him and his personality through him being a correspondent and being on the podcast. And what I love is that his personality shines through on, you know, and the music that he makes. You know, it's not like the music is somehow completely separate or really different from his personality. So I think, oh, I just think that's great when the art that someone makes really, you know, somehow captures their personality. Does that kind of make sense what I'm talking about?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, he's a pretty easygoing, pretty kind of laid-back guy with a sort of a dry sense of humor. And you can hear that in all of these songs and the way that he sings and the way that he produces it. You know, if it had been like a hardcore punk rock album, it probably would have been, wow, you know, I wasn't expecting that from Jason. But it somehow makes sense. So hopefully the listeners kind of catch my drift. Those of us that sort of know Jason through his appearance on the podcast, you can remember that that's who it is that makes this music. So let's have a listen to Red Pants and actually the final track on his album called Tomorrow Hesitate.
Well, we didn't make it to the vocals. yeah, Red Pants.
That's because he was too busy rocking, man.
Right.
He was too busy rocking.
You know what's a fun thing about these top 10 list podcasts is that it requires you to focus on a single track and like really focus on it. So, you know, I really liked this album. But I thought of it kind of just as a like a whole, right? Like just an album, like 35 minutes, whatever it is, right? But now listening to this one track, I totally appreciate it. Like, man, that is really good, right? That could be that's got a Thurston Moore vibe to it, kind of.
Totally.
So wow, great, excellent. Red Pants, Jason's band, and we can plug his label. PaintedBlonde.com. You can get cassettes there. And, you know, also Jason's on another podcast. I hate to ever promote like a rival podcast because we should be like trying to destroy all the other podcasts, right? But yeah, he's got a friend who does a podcast called Analog Thoughts in a Digital World. And he's on like all of this season's podcasts and they're pretty cool. They're like, you know, DIY music people. And it's cool.
Totally. And that was some of the inspiration that I got from Jason, because he's a father of little kids, yeah, like me. Yeah. And, you know, it's a struggle to find time and space to make music. And Jason, he somehow does it, you know. And one of the things that he was talking about is that sometimes he just does it in, like, little 15-minute bursts. You know, he'll get 15 minutes spare time and he'll go down to his basement and just, like, you know, quickly record a guitar part or something like that. So I find that very, very inspiring, you know, to hear another, you know, middle-aged white guy who's got kids running around but still somehow makes music and finishes it and puts it out. So doing much more than I am, and I just thank you for your productivity and your inspiration, Jason.
Very cool. All right, David, number three. And another one you won't get any disagreement with from many of us.
Yeah, I believe possibly two others have already put this artist on their list. Is that right?
Three. Barrett, oh, Chris, God. And I all had this on our lists. It was the only artist who made all three of ours. So now it's up to four.
And here she is again, Ellen Kempner, a.k.a. Palehound. It's, I think, her third album under that moniker. Just such great songwriting, a great band. Saw them live, unbelievably good, even though they had an equipment failure in the middle of the set, and she had to call up a friend who's a poet to spend about 20 minutes doing spoken word poetry while they tried to track down exactly where the power failure was.
That's good.
And even with that, I mean, actually, the poetry was great. Even with that, you know, it was a great performance. So,
you know what would have been better,
again,
though?
Seeing them live. I shouldn't say seeing them live sold it, because I think even if I hadn't seen them live, I would just adore this record. So,
yeah, I was just going to say, there's one thing they could have done that would be better, and that would be, there's an equipment failure. Hey, I see David from Will's Band of the Week is in the audience. Can you come up here and, you know, just do a little podcast segment, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For some reason, they didn't think of that. I don't know why.
Yeah. Great album. It's been well documented on the podcast that I missed the live show, but Barrett and Chris got my tickets and went.
Right.
Yeah,
you had a schedule conflict.
Right, but I am a big fan of the album, even without having seen her live. So, what's your pick from the album, David?
My pick is The City.
Palehound, the album is Black Friday, and it is a good album. And that's an understatement,
yes.
Right?
Yes. It's appearing on many, pretty high up on many lists that I see. I think a lot of people have clued into her in recent months as she tours this record.
Good to see. Cool. All right. We're up to Nicholas's number three.
Yeah, my number three. And I realized that these guys were my number two last year. So that says a lot.
Wow.
But, it really does. You know, Japanese kraut rock, what's not to like? So right. Manami right. Deutsch. Manami Deutsch is the band we're talking about. Basically, this is, you know, they put out an EP this year that I often just put on repeat in my house, and it would simply give me energy. You know, I often want music that's going to give me energy to do things around the house, you know, sort through boxes of junk or clean the kitchen or whatever it is. Whatever. I need some help.
It's your glamorous life, right?
Yeah. So these guys do it. They do it with style. I'm trying to find my bit of paper. Yeah, so Can't Get There is the name of the EP. We're actually going to listen to the title track, but, you know, every time I hear this, it's like, you know, if I was ever in doubt of like, oh, should I put this on, should I not? And then I listen to it, I'm like, you know, within about three quarters of a second, I'm like, yeah. So let's listen to it. Manami Deutsch.
Kraut rock from Tokyo. Yeah, how can you not like that? Manami Deutsch.
I'm hoping that they'll come out to Australia sometime. They seem to tour a lot, but I don't think they've been here yet.
They seem like a band that would be very appropriate to just take a little leg over to, you know, to Austin, Texas in March, maybe?
Yeah.
What do you think, David?
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that more of the Japanese bands and the Korean bands don't get to Australia, because, I mean, you know, it's a lot closer than coming here.
Yeah, and some do, but, yeah, not a huge number. So, anyway, keep my eye out the next couple of years, see what happens. I'll totally check them out, though, if they can.
Do you think it's because the local scene is just so incredible? I mean, there's so many bands from Melbourne and from other parts of Australia. I mean, it's just... It's pretty incredible, really.
Well, it is a great scene, but we have loads and loads of bands from overseas coming, and definitely more and more. Particularly, I feel like something's happened in the last 15 years where we get a lot of, you know, not just huge bands, but sort of like, you know, I guess like who was it that I saw at the start of the year? I can't remember who it was. And I was raving about seeing them, you know, with the young female blonde lead singer. Sorry.
Okay, you'll come up with it.
Was it Snailmail?
Yeah, Snailmail. Yeah, see, you know, they came out and did some festival gigs and that sort of thing. So, you know, yeah, so they're not huge, but, you know, they still managed to come to Melbourne and tour. And they're, you know, there seems to be lots of bands at that sort of level. Uh-huh. But do come out now, so there's definitely a market. So just, seems a bit, not exactly random who comes out, but seems to be more and more of these sort of like smaller bands that do come from America and Europe to tour in Australia. Yeah. So, yeah.
But that's a thing that seems so cool about the whole, you know, the Melbourne scene, is that you've got so many venues and a whole bunch of venues that aren't that big, right? So there's so many opportunities to see bands in, you know, a venue between like 100 and 300 people, right? Which is so great. It's just so great. So,
well, we're lucky. We're lucky.
Okay, now we talk about when things get serious, but I'm going to say when you get to number two, you know, this is an album that could be number one if it just hadn't gotten beaten out by this other album, right? I mean, that's how serious it is.
Oh yeah.
So we are up to David's number. David's number two.
This is a band that I managed to miss, I think, maybe three times that festival that we were at. Just missed them, I think, on arriving. I think they played just like 10 minutes before I got to Austin.
I think they played, didn't they play right after Black Midi? Because I remember we were watching Black Midi, and I saw the singer in the tent. There's a tent that, you know, operates as backstage. So
yeah, they had either just played or maybe they were playing later and we missed them because we had to go check into our hotel or something like that.
Yeah.
Either way, I did not see them there. And then they played two other times that I know of that I could have seen them, and I still didn't see them. But I managed to see them in Brooklyn in the summer, and they are just wild, completely wild live. Just completely out of control, climbing on the equipment, going crazy as a live band. And we're talking about Charlie Bliss. Now, some people are not so positive on this band because the lead singer does have a very unusual voice. Eva Hendrix is her name. It's not to everyone's taste, but once you get used to that, they're an amazing band. And, you know, I'm falling into that studying the lyrics routine, and their lyrics are very, very intense and very dark, and the music is not. So that contrast, the kind of an upbeat sound to the music and a very, very dark cast to the lyrics, just makes for great tension, I think. Works really great. The album is called Young Enough, and this song is called Young Enough.
Bright, luminous inside, I am diving to drown in you. The stripes, your eyes, your voice, the night we're young enough to believe it should hurt this much. Your eyes, I always wanted to try. Right, luminous inside, I am diving to drown.
That's Charlie Bliss.
Yes.
So I was going to bring this up earlier. We could have a category. This would be kind of fun. Music we really like that our spouse or partner does not like. Do you have anything like that? Where like you put it on and you know, and she says, get this music off here. Like Craig was just talking about an example of that a few weeks ago.
Nothing specific, but I have the feeling that might qualify.
Do you ever have that happen, Nicholas? Do you, like, you put something on and then, you know, you're told, you're instructed, take this off immediately?
Yes. Finley, my partner, tends to not comment on music ever. I'll get this is good, or what's this that's playing? Occasionally that'll happen, but more often what happens is, can we change the music, please? And usually that's when we're listening to something like my number 7 pick, Pliny. If it's anything that's remotely like progressive metal or something like that. Probably, you know, like the Thurston Moore, you know, not the track that I played before, but if there's something a little bit more kind of harder to swallow or something, like, you know, something a little bit...
confrontational.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. It'll. I'll be asked to change it.
So this happened to me with Charlie Bliss. So we, my wife went with me to see Death Cab for Cutie, and the opener was Charlie Bliss. And you know, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, this is I kind of like this, but my wife had this look on her face. I could just tell she was not into it. And there's something about the young female, super enthusiastic. I think there may be like a gender difference in how that gets interpreted, if you know what I mean. So then you're kind of in this mental space where you know the person you're with is not enjoying it. So then you're kind of like, you know, it casts a little, you know.
It puts a downer on it, man.
Yeah,
it puts
downer.
A downer on it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that happened to me.
I had the advantage of going to see them with my son, who if anything, was even more enthusiastic afterwards than I was. I mean, he was like, that was just the greatest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. So, you know.
That's great.
Taste vary.
Yep. All right. Very cool. Charlie Bliss, Young Enough is the album. Second album, I believe, right?
Yes. That's all it is.
Yep, and there.
But I think it's a huge. I mean, the first one was really good, but this is just such a huge step up. And it's really once you get down into the words and really, really study it, it's really compelling.
All right, we can hear the construction going out of the studio at Nicholas's house. So that's great.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Is it the control room they're working on now, or is it the drum booth?
Yeah, or, it's this new Neve desk that we've had flown over from Abbey Road. It's like,
right, yeah, yeah.
They're such a bitch to get in, but, you know, it'll be worth it in the end.
And they've got to get it right. I mean, if there's a measurement that's like 1 millimeter off, you're just going to make them start over, right? Scratch the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I saw the budget for this, I wasn't sure about all that marble and, you know, the gold leaf.
But you'll hear the gold leaf in the sound quality, don't you worry.
That's true. I'm sure it'll all be worth it.
Yeah, the I wasn't sure about the gold plated faders that Nicholas demanded. But you know, you gotta feel just right about it when you're adjusting, you know, channel 9, you know. So okay. Well, Nicholas is number 2. Another one that I will not be arguing with. Very pleased that this made it on the list. And number 2, that's impressive.
Yeah, look, it was so close to being number 1, and I actually called this album by Chastity Belt the album of the year a few months ago, and it's certainly a beautiful album, and, you know, being number 2 takes nothing away from them. And they were on my 2017 top 10. I guess I fell in love with them even more when I got to see them live a couple of years ago here in Melbourne. They put out this album, which, you know, I really like. It's kind of a bit mellower, not exactly darker, but it's kind of has a certain emotional tone to it that I really like. And, you know, they're sort of I would sort of call them almost humble rock stars, but... you know, when I was researching them a few months ago, I read a little interview and they were talking about how they've all still got day jobs. So, like, one of them's a substitute teacher, one of them's a bartender, one of them's like a nanny or an au pair, one of them's a landscape gardener. And I just think, I don't know, in some ways it kind of says something about the fact that they put out these amazing albums, they tour the world, but you know, they're still obviously pretty normal people with regular jobs when they're not touring and recording, I suppose. So anyway, I think that sort of, I find that quite charming. But let's have a listen to Chastity Belt from their self-titled album. This is the final track called Pissed Pants.
I'm Annie from Chastity Belt, and you're listening to Will's Band of the Week.
Wow.
Did I nail it?
Yeah,
I
nailed it.
You totally killed it.
Chastity Belt. And I have to thank Nicholas for the inspiration to record podcast IDs. It's like, what was the first one? I remember there was Sweater Curse. Was there one before that? I can't remember.
But I think Buzz and the Pickups.
That, yeah.
Melbourne.
So I think we have sort of an ongoing goal now to get people to record those things. And they seem to be cool with it, right? I think the Jordy Greep from Black Midi might have been the award-winning one for the year. Yeah,
yep.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, I absolutely ratify Nicholas's choice there. I had a chance to see Chastity Belt for the first time myself a couple months ago, and so much fun. I mean, they just have such a great time on stage. You can tell that they really enjoy being with each other. I guess maybe if they do, I was not aware that they have day jobs. Maybe because they have to spend time apart when they're not on tour, they enjoy it that much more. But you know, it's kind of like they're having a little party up there on stage, and it's really, really great to watch. The only reason I didn't have their album on my list is that the more I listen to them over the course of this last part of the year, the more I love their previous record, which I think is just amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
This one's good, but I think that one is the one that just kills it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
don't you feel like they
could have been a contender? Definitely.
They have such a great sound that they can hardly do wrong, right? I mean, you just figure whatever they put out next is going to be great too.
Yes, it's all good. It's all really good.
Yeah, great. We all approve, Nicholas. You secured your spot on the podcast for one more year by making that selection. So
that's all I really want, Will, is everyone's approval. So thank you.
Right.
I've been validated.
Yeah, I mean, you're an internet celebrity, right? For sure. All right. Wow. Are we up to number one? This is like
number one.
David's number one. Well, oh, listen to that. That's the studio is totally under construction. Okay, now it is time for David's number one.
Well, I'm glad that Nicholas is going last on this one, because I'm not going to surprise anybody with my number one. You've seen this band twice this year. I only saw them once, but of course, once I had, it was all over. I mean, they've been number one. They've been in the number one slot ever since that day, and they have not deviated from that slot.
Yeah.
Maybe I gave a thought to others, but it was just a stray thought. They held on. It's Fontaines D.C. from Dublin. And the album is Doggerel. And what did I pick? Too Real?
Yep, that's the one. Just leave that playing as just, but yeah, I had to fade it out. I'm sad that I had to fade it out.
I forgot the how long it takes before the vocal comes in on that one.
Yeah, it's totally worth it though.
Yep.
So that was probably they probably were my top three live shows of the year. Were probably three of their shows.
I know what you mean.
So I saw them twice in Austin. The first one was the 12-minute gig where the bass amp blew out.
Oh, right. I wasn't counting that one. Yes, you've seen them three times. That's all right.
You guys were, I would say, we were at the same venue. You guys were outside watching, who's the woman from, you
Sasami.
Know. Was it Sasami? I think it might
be. Sydney Gish.
I think it was Sydney Gish. Well, it was one of those two, right? And I'm like, oh, wait, right. I got to go inside. And I have to go inside to see Fontaines D.C. So Craig and I were in there. And after 12 minutes, the bass amp blew out. They had another amp, but it was really not a good enough bass amp. They started playing through it, and they were like, forget this. And they just walked off like punk rock. You know, just, you don't say a word. You just, like, get this blank look on your face, and you walk off. So that's what they did. So it was totally cool. Then we were all together at the show where all the famous rock critics were, including us. We're famous rock critics, too, right?
Right.
You know, David Frick, that British guy that I always forget his name, that Craig was telling us is like the most famous. He's like the new John Peel or whatever was there. Uh-huh. Unbelievable, right?
Yep.
And then Barrett and Chris and I and Barrett's wife and my wife all went down to Chicago and saw them in September. It was fantastic again. So, yeah, totally worthy. Fontaines, D.C.
Bringing punk back to the forefront.
Yep.
Bringing life back to punk with a touch of with a with a touch of T.S. Eliot, a lot of Irish insouciance, defiance, rebelliousness.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's a potent mixture.
It is.
And if you do go see them, you better be prepared to, be showered in beer, vodka, hit with various flying objects. Who knows what might happen?
Well, my son saw them.
It's a wild scene.
My son saw them in Toronto, and he said there were some beer cans flying. So I think he evaded them. So yep. He enjoyed it a lot too. Well, Nicholas, I'm sorry, but you have to try to beat that.
Well, I'm confident. I'm sure of my choice. You know, I know everyone loves Fontaine's DC, but thank the Lord that I have not chosen Fontaine's DC as my number one. I'm sorry, everyone.
That would be pretty boring.
Yeah, you got for once somebody has some individual taste.
That's right.
There you go. Well, Will, I'm going to thank you because this was on your suggested listening list to me a few months ago when we did an episode of the podcast. And, I loved it then. But as the year progressed, this became clear that this was my favorite album and, I guess, my favorite band of the year, really. And we're talking about Tin Cho, who, they've put out an album this year, and they've sort of seemed to have like kind of disbanded, and they sort of all live in different countries now. But there was a little mention that there is going to be some new music from Tin Cho coming out. I think it's mainly one guy who sort of leads the band, and he lives in I think South America, like Buenos Aires. I think I got that right. Anyway, Tin Cho. I don't know. I don't really feel like saying much about them. All I want to say is, oh, yeah. That's all I want to say. But this is a great – this is, an album that I liked from top to bottom and just listened to lots. Great guitar, of course, but just kind of great songs, really, and a great I suppose a bit like you were talking about with Chastity Belt. You know, there's something about – the combination of people that make this music, and it's got a certain something that you can't really put your finger on. But for me, it was number one. So their album was called Home Today. The band is Tin Cho, and let's listen to a cool track called Radio. It's my favorite album and favorite band of 2019.
Walking down on a cherry, I got a dollar for a cigarette, but you're not one for sharing. You're gonna finish up the rest, and then you
Tincho. Yeah, I'm so glad you picked that. That's great.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Sometimes I want my indie rock to sound like indie rock, and sounds like pretty good indie rock to me, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of Jangle Pop, but it's like a little bit heavier. It's like a Jangle Pop with a little bit of Dinosaur Jr. thrown in, right? Maybe?
Yeah, it's got just a cool attitude. It sort of feels like if you're listening to that while you're walking down the street, like on a sunny day, about to go and catch the bus or something like that, like you're going to be feeling great about yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what would be a great double bill? Tincho and Young Gov, right? It's kind of like just this great guitar music.
Yep. Cool. Yeah.
Well, you could take any of your any of the 20 picks from this podcast, combine two of them, be a great double bill, right?
Yep.
How about, let's see, let's do some fun games here. How about David Kilgore and Palehound? There is a good double bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I think that you should become a promoter, Will. That's what you're highlighting right now.
That's right. Yeah, I know. The problem is that nobody would show up. It'd be terrible. I'd be so sad. It's like Barrett has talked about this. Like, he's done, like, promoting on a small scale, like getting indie artists, like sort of indie folk people to come and play at the coffee shop, right? And and he said it's just constantly, you're just worried that people aren't going to show up. And not even for yourself, but for the artist. You're like, God, it's going to be so terrible if nobody shows up. So, you know, I think probably the promoters these days have they have their ways, they have their metrics, right? Maybe you do it by number of Spotify plays or something. There's probably some terrible automated method of figuring it out.
That's right.
So you know that like a certain number of people will show up, but
the groups that we dig up that have 47 followers on the streaming service, you got to be careful with them.
I think I was telling you guys recently on our chat that I discovered this band. I just love this band. And so I was trying to find live clips of the band, and I found several tracks that somebody had recorded of one of their live shows. I was literally watching YouTube videos that had three plays by this band. It's like, what the hell? You know?
I think I might have been the fourth on that. Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, it's a band called the S Bends.
Yes.
So we might have to talk about them on a future podcast, because I think that's just an exceptional album. They're from Sydney, so just up the street from Nicholas.
Yeah, yeah.
A little jog. Take you about, a couple hours to run up there, probably?
sure. If you throw a tennis ball over the fence, you'd probably hit their roof.
Yeah. It's pretty close. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, they have I gotta say it. They have a certain go-betweens vibe.
Yeah, they totally they do. Yeah. And how can that be bad? I mean, that's just...
It can't be bad. It can't be bad.
I don't think it can be. Well, I have to say thank you guys, for these great lists, but more for just the great year. You know, it's been the best year of Will's Band of the Week, and we're in, number 10. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, no worries. Great to be part of it. I'm hoping to, continue to see some gigs and check in with you guys on a few episodes next year as well. I probably was on this year less than previous years, but it's that's just sort of how life has sort of worked out at the moment. But I certainly still feel lucky to be part of the gang, Will. So thanks, for continuing to include me, and it's just really nice to have a place to come and talk about music that I like, and music that you've put me onto as well.
Well, we got to get you on more then. I didn't realize that like your appearances were down. I mean, we got to get them
maybe,
back up.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Got to get them back up. Got to get them, just keep, bug us with all the music you're listening to, and we'll say, oh yeah, that's great. You got to be on. So.
Well, to be fair, all that construction on the studio is kind of cutting through our ability to get Nick on. So.
Yeah. That's
once
true.
That's completed,
yeah,
he should be more regular, don't you think?
Yes, think how good he's going to sound too. The pristine sound. There will be no background noise. I mean, it'll be like, and his voice will be so pure. It'll sound better than our voices. But
we won't have any of those people calling in complaining about Hey, you know, every time you have that Australian guy, the sound, I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's really, really far away.
Right.
That won't happen anymore, not once this is done, right?
Right. Absolutely.
People will be calling in saying it's crystal clear.
So I think we may have broken the 2-hour barrier. We've recorded for more than
possible.
Well, it depends on how much I edit out, but I think
so clipped. we were keeping our commentary so short.
I should probably mention for the listeners who can make it this far, like we always say, there's like 4 people left, right? But I think I might run out of bandwidth for the subscription that I have, and it might not let me put any more content up in December. So it's possible I'll have to skip a week. We'll see. It's going to be close. I mean, I could compress it more and make the audio quality lower, but you know, we have high standards here. You wouldn't really want to do that, would we?
I really can't figure out how this happened, because the 2.5-hour podcast featured 3 lists.
Right.
This one only features 2 lists. And we did not have any extensive discussion of whiskey.
No, that's right.
Comparison of different distillers. We didn't talk about sports. We went straight to the music.
Right, I know.
And still it's over 2 hours.
Yeah, well.
How does that happen?
That's the way it goes. Yeah. All right, well, let's have you guys on a lot in 2020. That's going to be exciting. Now, I have to decide, am I going to call it 2020 or 2020, or what do I call it? Is it something to be determined?
I've always thought it was weird how it seems to be an American thing that you guys say, like, you'd say 2019, whereas, well, I think it was more like last decade, you guys would say 2007. Whereas in Australia, we would say 2007.
Oh, you put an and in there.
We'd put an and. We would say, oh, yeah, it's 2007. Where you guys would go, yeah, it's 2007. I always thought that was weird that you don't say the and. But I think we all say 2019 here in Australia. We don't really say 2019. So I reckon we're all saying 2020, yeah. I think. Here in Australia, 2020. Yeah, I reckon we're saying 2020 now. Isn't this fantastic? Like, ask one little question.
We'll have to.
I'll just talk for 5 minutes about it.
I think the editorial board is going to take that up. You know, how do we describe that? 2020 or 2020?
Twenty twenty has a better
ring to it. Really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's catchy.
Did you know the band 2020? They were a really great power pop band from like 1979. I should probably feature them sometime.
I remember the band Level 42. Is that anything?
I remember that band too, yeah. How about Section 25? Let's see, bands with
a
number.
How about Psalm 41?
Yep. Let's see, what else?
Van Halen had an album with Sammy Hagar singing called 5150.
Oh, there you go. Okay. What does it say about you if that's the first thing that comes to mind? I don't know.
Yeah, and look, that'll be our special word. So anyone that sends in an email with 5150 written on it, I will send you some of my guitar picks in the mail.
Front 242. That was a band. Okay, that's it. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.